using forts.
Just a little more about that. The force.
Okay, yeah.
Like
so this might be something easier showed than explained. But you know, this tune, for example, those kind of modal voicings. First of all, I don't know. They probably fit on guitar. But you know, it says C minor 7. But so you could, you know, play. Play your usual C minor 7, but one of the cool things about this tune is what those guys were interested in was, you know, basically stacked fourth voicings. I think Ethan was talking a little bit about that.
When he was here, he's like, yeah, do those fourth
things. Did you know what he was talking about?
Yeah, because he mentioned that before. He's like, you can just play a fourth in these minor chords in any song.
Right, so instead of building up, you know.
Okay,
so it's the fourth.
Yeah, instead of building our traditional harmonic system is built on thirds. You know, you have. Extensions of a minor seventh in that mode, which is maybe a, in this case you could call it a Dorian or something, C Dorian. So you take every other note in that scale, and then that's how you derive basically all of the voicings you traditionally use on that chord. Well, what guys like Wayne were sometimes playing around with is, let's take every fourth note instead. So then you end up. That's a whole other, even though it's same notes, stacked differently, creates a different kind of flavor.
Now, do you do them all, well, they're all fourths, right?
Yeah, so you
so
can
they might not
that.
Be in the scale, right? Some of
no,
them.
No, they're all in the scale.
Really?
Really. Doesn't it sound different, though? It kind of tricks your ear, doesn't it?
Huh.
Into thinking that maybe there's something not. No, I'm just taking every fourth in the scale, so instead of doing.
Oh, you're not doing all perfect fourths, you're doing.
It. No, you have to cheat a little bit.
Okay,
so
all right. That's why I was saying it's not in the scale.
Otherwise, you don't.
And he figured out. He knows all the things.
Well, that's actually kind of an interesting thing, but that still doesn't sound. That's all 12 notes. But it doesn't sound totally dissonant just because of the way that that's constructed. That's part of the whole.
Somebody must have played that before.
Somebody must have. Well, there are composers
who use
stuff like
that. There's something with dissonance with that.
Yeah.
If you had something, you're used to it, it's not dissonant anymore. Like dissonant.
Exactly. Well, it's because there are those structured. Anyway.
Yeah.
Not gonna nerd out about that. But you know, even in your lines, here, just walk a chorus at that bass line. One. Yeah. Just go for it.
You want that bass line or a walking bass line?
Maybe some combination of the two. I don't know. Actually, why don't you stick to that bass line for now? I'm just used to hearing that over this tune. So, I'm going to just try to use all fourths to kind of get different sounds out of that scale. And this can apply to other things too, but this is a great example of it.
'Cause straight up, straight down,
and that's a way to kind of get better acquainted with a certain scale. But in this case, you're kind of going up and down, you know. I mean, I know some saxophone
players. You play a scale into the first, fourth, and second, and fifth kind of thing, right?
Right, and ultimately it's about kind of figuring out all of the interesting shapes that can come out of that scale as opposed to using the entire scale. Because if you just play up and down the scale in about 2 seconds, we get it. It's just a scale. Right. It's more what types of structures, as in either voicings or, you know, lines that kind of arpeggiate different parts of that scale. It's more about what that can give you. You know, this is, again, I mean, just to use our fourth example. That sounds completely different than, but all the same notes. You're just, it has to do with how they're organized.
Yeah.
Kind of.
So you're doing intervals of fourths.
Yeah, I'm just playing around with how many fourths can I find in this scale. Yeah.
That's what you're doing?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Alright.
And then you just could kind of figure out some different stuff to do. For example, you might, you know, obviously you've got a fourth between C and F and then G and C. But did you ever notice that, well, maybe if I go between A and D, which are both kind of color notes in that scale, that gives me a totally different... So it's just all those other relationships in the mode that maybe you hadn't noticed before.
Is it part of it that there's certain tonality, like you have the root, and that root kind of stays in your mind, so when you play this fourth or that fourth, they will sound different within that call's space of, like the root is in your head anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's over a static
baseline
or progression or something. Or even, you know, if a bass player and maybe a comping instrument's holding something down, it's just all about the other structures using the mode that you're in that you can come up with to kind of layer something on top.
And back to Goody's question about those not perfect fours, so it's like flat fourth.
You end up with a tritone somewhere in there, just because it's really, you know, it's every third note of the scale, which is going to come out to mostly fourths, and maybe there's a tritone in there somewhere. And that's okay.
So there won't be a flat fifth.
Flat fifth.
Is that right?
No, no.
That would be the tritone, right? That would be a whatever that is, seven.
Flat fifth.
Right. It's a tritone, not between the root and the next one. It's between E flat, and then instead of going to A flat, you go to A natural because that's in the Dorian mode. And then that leads you back a little quicker.
Okay.
I think we're over.
Okay.
Let's take the interval of a fourth around a little bit and see what we come up with.
Alright.
I mean, you know, the idea of taking a, you know, kind of arpeggiating a string.